Thank you all. It's good to see you here this morning on what the President has deemed to be the National Day of Prayer for Texas. It's good that we have reminders to pray for those that are in need, whether they're near or far. We should pray for them. Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. We're going to read a couple verses from Genesis chapter 8 and then read the bulk of our portion from Genesis chapter 8, chapter 9. Genesis chapter 8, verse 15 says this: Then God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Jumping to verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And go to chapter 9, verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be whenever I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every creature of the earth. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh on the earth. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word and look upon this portion, and as our hearts are drawn to pray this day for those who have suffered loss of all kinds in Texas and Louisiana and other places, Lord, we come to this portion, a promise made by you. And Lord, as we look at this now, as our brother prayed, may the words that come out of my mouth be words from you, and may they reach each of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question. Have you ever made a promise to somebody or ever said to somebody, I promise that I will do this to you? Or I promise, if you ever said that phrase, I promise. Sometimes you might say, if you're being questioned and whether or not you know it or not, me being a detective, I have questioned many people. And if they say, I promise you I didn't do that, well, they're really not using grammar correctly and it's not my place to correct them. But the word is, I assure you that I didn't do that. If you make a promise to somebody, you make a promise for something that's going to happen in the future. If you say that I assure you that I didn't do it, that's something that happened in the past. A promise always looks to something that the promiser plans to do or says that they will do. But assurances can only be made about the past. As we look at this portion and as we begin this study, as I've understand you're beginning the studies on the covenants of God. Here's the first one that God gives to Noah and an extension to us. Genesis chapter 9 shows us the first instance of not only a promise or a covenant that God makes to mankind, but a visual reminder of that promise. Now, we have a lot of promises that have visual reminders and tokens. Most of you ladies are wearing them. Before you got this ring on your finger, you were given a ring of some value. And I say some value because some of us are able to give more than others, although you are all worth it. You are given a token of a promise that one day that great guy, who you think is great right now, you have so much to learn, that great guy promises to be with you and to wed you. And there are other tokens of promise that we see. whether they're documents or things that we make promises with people that I promise to do this for you, and here's the token of that promise. You know, God gives us not only a promise, but a visual token that we even see today. Thousands and thousands of years after this promise was made, that God will keep his promise. Now, you know, you could teach this lesson by two Sunday school songs, perhaps some of my least favorite of all the Sunday school songs, camp songs, whatever, Mr. Noah and Arky Arky, all 17 verses of Arky Arky. I loathe the day when I let the kids choose favorites and say, okay, which song are we singing? We've got to sing Arky Arky. Okay, for the next 12 minutes, we're going to sing about Barky Barky and Twosies Twosies. And you know, sometimes we think that the story of Noah, and definitely the world thinks that the story of Noah, is this cute Sunday school story, if it even rises to that level. The story of Noah and the ark is usually more than just, it's to the level of, it's a fairy tale. It's a nice story. You know, we have pictures. I bet that there's five people in this room who have decorated their children's room with Noah's Ark or the rainbow or something about that because it's such a great story. But it's more than a story. And I hope that when you read this portion and go and read all of it, from the time where God tells Noah to build that ark to the time where God makes this promise, that you'll understand that this is not a fairy tale and not just a great Sunday school story. You know, the biblical account of the worldwide flood is one of several that is going through the world. Other cultures have it. There are other peoples that have had stories of the flood, but the biblical account of the flood is the one that is confirmed by all the rest. And the biblical account we know is true because it tells details that no other accounts talk about. And in a little bit of background, you know, I don't have to tell you about Noah and the flood as we get here, because the point of this is really not the flood. And as I was thinking about this coming in this morning, I don't want to call it ironic. Is it the Lord's will that this message is spoken on this Sunday? Perhaps it is. But the biblical flood is confirmed by all these other stories because it is more accurate, and the Bible gives more details about this flood than in any other story. The beginning of the flood, the length of time the rain fell, how long the floodwaters remained on the earth, and how long it took for them to recede. The Bible does not need other things to confirm its truth. The Bible says it, and we will show with some investigation that it's true. Jesus also believed in the story of Noah, quoting about him several times while he was on the earth. So you can trust God's word and you can trust Jesus. God establishes the first covenant in the Bible as we start this series and as you start this series. This is the first covenant between God and man. Now, when I first was assigned this portion, the first thing that I thought of right off the bat is, how incredible is it that God would make a promise to me? Who am I? Who is Noah? Who are we that God would say, I am going to make a promise for you, and I'm going to keep that promise forever? And not only am I going to keep that promise and make that promise, I'm going to give you a visual symbol of it so you can see it and never forget that thing. We see that God is an incredible covenant-making God. You know, we can only imagine that as Noah is in the ark for those that long time, that as he comes and they land on the mountain and the waters recede, we can only imagine the joy and the relief that they had when God says, go out of the ark. And his first act was to raise an altar and worship God and give him thanks for saving him and bringing him to this place. God's first act of business was to make a promise to Noah that he would no longer destroy the earth with a flood. So what is God's covenant? God says, I'm making a covenant with you. I'm making a covenant with you. What does God's covenant tell us about? and not tell us about? Because there's a lot of things as we study this covenant and we see the current events going on, we're sometimes led to believe, well, you know, why is God allowing this to happen when he said right here he would no longer say this to happen? Well, we're going to look at a few things. In Genesis chapter 9, God is a covenant-making God, first of all. First and foremost, God is a covenant-making God. Think of the incredible grace of God that he would reach down and says, listen, I'm going to make a promise to you. It's not a negotiation. It's not a treaty. If you do this, I will do this. He says, I am making a covenant with you, and I will keep it no matter what. No matter what. So the details of this covenant that God makes, first, it was a promise by God never again to destroy the entire earth with a flood. Second, it was a covenant that there was going to be a symbol for everyone to see that showed that God was going to keep his promise. Thirdly, God's covenant was not temporary. He said it would be for the remainder of time and an everlasting promise. Finally, it was not just a covenant between God and man. It was a covenant between God and all the earth, everything on the earth. You know, the covenant is one of grace. God did not have to make this covenant with Noah. He did not have to make this promise to Noah. He saved Noah by his grace. He chose Noah and his family, and he gave him instructions, and he made this promise with him because his grace was so great that he would pour this out on Noah and an extension to us. You know, Noah didn't seek for it. Noah didn't go before God, says, God, please make a promise with me that this will never happen again. Noah didn't do that. You know, this was all freely God's grace. As the free as the floodwaters rose from the earth and rose and fell from the sky, so freely was God's grace poured out upon Noah and upon us. You know, not only was the covenant one of grace for us, it was one of promise. And we talked about that word promise. And we talked about those items that we make promises of. And as I sat here this morning thinking about that, how many times have we broken those promises? How many times have we said, I promise to do this? As a parent, it becomes more and more challenging, I guess, to keep promises. I promise I'll be there. I promise I'll do this. I promise I'll do that. And the busyness of the world derails my promises. God says nothing is going to derail my promise. My covenant and my word is going to be forever. Look at those words in those verses that we read. And these are declarative statements from God when he says, I am establishing this covenant. I'm setting it up. It shall come to pass. He says, I will do this. It shall happen. I will. God is saying, this covenant that I'm making with you, Noah, and making with all the earth for all time is a covenant that I will never shy away from. It is a covenant that I will never forget. This covenant has been faithfully kept by God. It depends on his faithfulness, not on mine, which I'm so glad for. It doesn't depend on any degree upon my work or my memory that I have to remember. It depends on God's, and God's memory is both infinite and unchanging. God is the same with Noah as he is with us today. Praise God that he is. Because we change all the time. We forget. We disobey. We walk away. God never, ever does. This covenant is an everlasting covenant. God didn't say this covenant is just going to be temporary. It's going to be for this time. God said this is going to be an everlasting covenant. As long as there is day and night, summer and winter, the waves shall never cover the earth. The psalmist wrote, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. When God says something and tells us that, we can take him as his word. You know, that's unfortunately, as I said, not always the case with me. And maybe with you. But with God, his word is good forever. Now, you know something? As important as what God promises in what his covenant says is important as what it does not say. We hear God's promise, and we tell the world, yes, you see the rainbow, we see that token, we hear God's promise that he'll never destroy the earth with a flood, and sometimes we forget that, yeah, it's the whole earth, it's the whole flood. But perhaps that's the confusion with the flood story and the story of Noah itself. Perhaps that's the reason why in our human minds we can't understand a story where the whole earth was covered with water. We understand a city. We understand even our towns. I remember not too long ago in Cranford, just looking down the road and all you saw was water. We can fathom that in our minds, but sometimes we say, there's no way it was a global catastrophe. It can't be true. I don't understand it. But God's promise confirms that it was. God doesn't promise that there'll never be another flood of any kind or any magnitude on the earth. He doesn't say that. Nor does he ever promise that there'll never be a loss of life or property by means of flooding. As we know, floods have come and go. You can almost count the times the hurricanes and the floodings come. We name them now. And we know that they come and we know that they go. We hear stories from our parents. I remember this flood. The water was this high. As I was at camp a few weeks ago, paddling down the Delaware River on a bridge that's 50 feet high. It's got to be 50 feet high. There are painted markers on it. And there's got to be 20 or 30 of them on there. And we're down very nicely. It just rained the day before, so the water was moving. And I look at the markers, and they're every foot or every 5 feet, and then there's the big red one on the top, flood stage. And I'm like, it's got to be 20 feet higher than where it is now. But God never promised that there would never be a flood. You know, the flood and the promise of no longer a flood confirms that it was not just a local one that God was going to say, listen, I'm never going to flood this area again. The promise was never not to repeat a local flood, but the promise was never to destroy all the earth with a flood. Remember this. God makes covenants with man. We don't make covenants with God. Maybe you've made a promise to God and you've promised him things that you thought were reasonable and thought were able to be kept, and maybe they were even a little outlandish. God, I promise you that if you do this for me, I'll do this. That's not really a promise. That's a bargain, and a bad bargain at that. We think it's a deal. We think of the soldiers in the foxholes that make promises to God. We don't make promises to God. He makes promises with us. It's not a contract that God made with us. You do this, and you do your part, and I'll do my part. God says, I am reaching out to you, and I'm going to show you and promise to you that I will never destroy the earth again. God is reaching out to men. You know, he shows that this is a one-sided deal. God's not in the business of making negotiations with you. I saw a great quote that God will not negotiate with man. He put his son on a cross. There is no negotiation. This is the promise that he has made. His son dying on the cross. But you know something? Even though it's not a negotiation, even though it's not a treaty, even though it's not a contract that I have to do my best to keep, it's a covenant that God made, and that covenant will never be broken because God cannot break it, and that covenant is still in effect today. Still in effect today. Maybe you've seen the sign of that covenant recently. I dare say the people of Houston have seen it. So what is that token of God's covenant? We read it. We know it. You know, we know the song. I bet you I could get five people in this room all under the age of 20 if they were daring enough to sing with me, God put a rainbow in the sky. And probably two of them, if I gave them enough money, would even do the motions with me. You know, we sing that song, God put a rainbow in the sky. When the sun came shining through, God put a rainbow in the sky. This token of God's covenant, the sign that he was going to give us that would confirm his word, was that rainbow. You know, we talked about those tokens, and we say we have symbols, we have visual symbols, and ladies, you wear visual symbols. Guys, maybe you have that something on your wall, maybe you have that contract, maybe you have something that is a visual symbol that you look at, or you look at on your hand, and you see that is the token of the promise that was made to me. God says, I'm going to give you one that you can look at every time that there's a storm, and I will remember. God says, I will remember. He's not saying, I'm giving this to you so you'll remember. God says, I'm putting this in the sky so I will remember. How do you fathom that? The sign that God gave as a confirmation of his covenant was the rainbow. You know, he gave signs so that he would show us that his promises were true and we would not forget them. Why? Because we forget. We forget his word. We forget what he says. We forget his promises. At Pine Bush, the theme for this year was Luke 24:27. And the whole story is the two men that are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they had forgotten the words of Jesus. And Jesus, unknowing to them, walks with them. And you know the conversation. It's an incredible story. And you remember at the end, and they remembered his words. God will give us a visual confirmation because we forget, because we don't remember. We come before this table that was here before, early, to remember him, to remember what he did. Why? Because we forget so often. So the visual token, the symbol, the visual sign that God gave was a rainbow. Now, to be scientific about it, a rainbow is formed by the dispersion of sunlight shining through the rain. You need to have all those things to get a rainbow. You won't see a rainbow on a cloudy day. You won't see a rainbow on a sunny day. But when the factors are all working after a big storm and the clouds are dissipating and the sun is coming out, you have seen some of the most incredible rainbows you can find. And now with social media, everybody sees them. Sometimes they're double rainbows. Sometimes they're so vivid, and they last for so long, we can't imagine. The rainbow is a guarantee that God will keep his promise. Now, you know, the Hebrew word for bow is the same word that is used for a bow and arrow that a warrior will use in battle. It's the same word. Now, when peace covenants and peace treaties are made, the symbol was to hang up that bow, never to be used again. The warriors would put aside their weapons of warfare and hang them up for all to see. And you could look and see that symbol of war was now a symbol of peace. You know what God says? I put my bow in the cloud. I'm putting that picture of vengeance against sin now in the cloud, that you'll know that vengeance is done. And I will not destroy the world by a flood anymore. Now, you know, Charles Spurgeon wrote these things. He goes, you know what? The covenant needs no token as far as God is concerned. Tokens are given for us because of the littleness of our hearts. Accept no tokens unless you need them. Tokens are helped for children. You know what? We need tokens, don't we? We need symbols sometimes. We need to have that visual reminder of God's promises. Why? Because we forget. Why? Because we're not the ones making those promises. We're the ones relying on those promises. As we sang, standing on those promises. And we need sometimes, perhaps more than others, to be able to look and see and be reminded what God has promised. So the cloud alone does not give the rainbow. There has to be rain. There can be no rainbows unless the rain comes through the sun. You have to have it all. There must also be the sun. You can't just have rain and clouds. You need to have the sun. But once they all come, the rainbow appears. You know, God's not saying you're not going to have tough times. And we talked about this. There's been a lot of talk about the people in the Gulf states going through tough times. And what has happened with them? The God never promised us easy times, but he did promise us that he would always be faithful to his promises. Does that mean when the clouds are there, when the rain is pouring down, when the storm is coming, that the sun is gone, that there is no more sun, life is over, and now I'm just in the midst of the sun? Is that what that means when God says, listen, storms will come, rain will come, but I am still there? Whether the sun has its face hidden from you and you don't see it for a day or a night or a few, it will come out again. It will come out again. And when it does, the rainbow will appear. You know what? Maybe this has to do with our lives. Maybe you're not going through a flood like the Texans are. Maybe you are going through a flood of things in your life. And maybe you think, you know what, where is God when I need him the most? That question comes up over and over. Where is God when this and this and this? He's there. He's absolutely there. When we see storms and clouds, my daughter, for some reason, my six-year-old daughter is deathly afraid of clouds. She thinks clouds equal storms no matter what, for some reason. And she questions us every day. It's cloudy. Is it going to rain today? Is it going to storm today? Don't know. We'll find out. When you look at the sidewalk and it's wet, then you'll know it's raining. That's my answer. I can't go on anymore. But I guess what we're trying to say, no matter whether it's clouds or pouring rains or rising floods, the sun is still in the sky. And God says, as long as the sun remains and will come back day and night, I will be there and I will keep my promise. So what does this all mean to me? So is that it? Is this just a cute Sunday school song, a great story? And yes, we can rely on God's promises and he'll never destroy the earth again by means of flood. Is that all it is? Or is there more? The covenant that God made with that rainbow in the sky also does this. It shows us a picture of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see that rainbow, what is probably the first thing that we do or say? I bet you a dollar, the first thing that we all do or say is we go, ooh, ah. I know you do it because I do it. It's not something, we can see it 100 times. We've seen them in different places. There are incredible pictures of them. But every time we see it, we have that childlike urge to be like, wow. It is incredible because it is something that is of transcendent glory and beauty. It's not something that we can create. Yes, a prism can create the light, the colors of the rainbow, but we can see that and everything, but you cannot artificially create a rainbow like God makes. And you know something? We never get tired of seeing them either. I dare say we never get tired of, I don't. Even if you don't make the connection of God's promise, you see that in the sky, you never get tired of it. We can look at it. We can try to duplicate it. People have tried to paint it, try to reproduce it. And you know something? It's nice. You can paint a rainbow. We get it. No one is matching God's artwork. We get all the colors there. We get everything there. No one is matching God's artwork. You know, when we see in the rainbow, we see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you've seen pictures of what man tries to represent as the Lord Jesus Christ, we're never satisfied with that, are we? You know what? You can see a picture of David. You can see a a picture of David and Goliath. You can maybe see a picture of Noah's Ark. And nowadays we have the Ark Encounter in Kentucky where it shows you full scale. You know, it's not just that little baby picture of an ark with two giraffes sticking out of it. And we try to figure out how did they fit them all. Now we have a better idea. But you understand that. We can see that visual representation of those things. We're like, okay, this is what it could be. You're never satisfied with one of Jesus Christ. People have tried, will never be satisfied, because his glory and his beauty go far beyond what we can imagine. You know, in the rainbow, as in Christ, we see God's vengeance and judgment satisfied for all time. As God made that promise to Noah, he says, I will no longer destroy the earth with a flood. So in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I will never punish you for your sin because I've punished my Son. He has taken what you deserve. He has been put upon him my sin. Which way was that bow pointed? We know every rainbow, they're all pointed in one direction. Not down at us, who deserve it, but up at him. He took on his own body the punishment for my sin so that I would not have to. As we see the covenant that God makes with man, we see a beautiful picture of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, taking for him my sin. You know, we see all the colors. We see all the colors in the rainbow. We use that phrase. We look out and we see light in with our eyes. We don't see all the colors. We see the colors because of light. And if you start doing research on light, you see that there's all different kinds of light. We can only visualize things, but when we see the rainbow, we see all the colors there. Our eyes can see that range. We see the colors because of light. There is infinitely more in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, than we will ever see. There's so much more. And if we understand that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, took upon himself the vengeance for my sin, and God can now say, because I have punished him, I will no longer punish you, then we can say thank you to him. And how long is that promise for us with God's Son? It's forever as well. When God makes a promise, it is forever. Thank God for that. I thank God that he made that promise that he would no longer destroy the earth with a flood. I'm far greater thankful that when he said, your sins have been put upon my Son and they will never again be dealt with by you. And we read those verses from Romans chapter 8. What shall separate us from the love of God? The list goes on. Nothing will, because they were poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's my response to this? What do I have to do with this? What is my response to God's covenant for me? How do I respond to this? Do I say, okay, I'll be happy to sing God Put a Rainbow in the Sky and it has more meaning now and I'll be happy every time they sing it? Perhaps. Perhaps. Hopefully you will have the childlike glee and happiness when a rainbow comes out. You know something? It's not wrong to be happy about it. Because when that rainbow is there, it is God again showing us his promise, which is good forever. You know something? When you look at that rainbow, we think of the beauty of Jesus Christ. We can't measure that beauty of the rainbow. We can't reproduce it. Neither can we with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would imagine as Noah is worshiping there at that altar and God is putting that rainbow in the sky, as the song said, that Noah was worshiping and thanking God for what he did. And so can we. We can thank him, sure, for not destroying the whole earth in a flood. That's fine. But we can thank him more, not only that he keeps his promises, that his promises are completely fulfilled in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we gaze at those rainbows, and you know something? Let that be something that continually draws awe from your heart. We never get tired of it. We never get tired of seeing that. Don't get tired and let it be commonplace where you see it, yeah, it's another rainbow. Let it be a reminder of what God has said for you. You know, and as we see it, let us long to get with God. Not just to say, that's beautiful, thank you, God, and go on my way, but say, thank you, God, for this reminder that you love me and you care for me and you will never stop doing so. And I want to be thankful for it, and I want to come to you with humility and say, thank you for making this promise. And finally, tell others what it's really all about. The rainbow is there to give us a reminder. The same way, if you're wearing a ring or if you're having that other visual thing, I dare say, as I said earlier, ladies, did you ever hold back when you had that ring on your finger? It's usually out front, isn't it? Showing everybody what you've got. When you see a rainbow in the sky, use it as an opportunity to tell what the real story is. Don't just admire its beauty. That's great. Use it as an opportunity to share with those around you what the rainbow is all about. Remember, we can count on God's promises. As we sang that song, as we stand on those promises, we can count on the promises of God. God makes a promise with us. We don't make a deal with him. God makes it, and his word is sure. He's never going to change. He's never going to go back. He makes a promise, and he will not relent. And he gives us that visual token, that reminder, the first of many throughout Scripture, for our hearts to say, thank you for that reminder that he will never again do these things. As you begin this journey, this study, I hope you go home and you read this. The story of Noah was a great one. Don't read it just as a Sunday school story and fly through it. Yeah, I've read it 100 times. One of the challenges that I've been trying to challenge myself with in the last year or so is not to fly through the Sunday school stories. Yeah, they're Sunday school stories. I know it. I've heard it 100 times. Read it. Read the details of it. Understand it. Ask the questions. Enjoy it more. And thank the Lord for it. As you begin this journey on the covenants of God, we see the first one right here, where God reaches out to man and says, I am making this promise to you. And I will keep it. And I'm putting that rainbow in this sky as a reminder to myself for this promise. How great is that? Not for me to be reminded of what God says, but so that God in his greatness will be reminded and never forget. How awesome is that God that we serve? Let's pray. Father, we think of this story. We've perhaps heard it dozens, if not hundreds of times. The story of Noah and the ark and the rainbow, and we think of it. And perhaps we've sort of let it go by as a nice kid story. But Lord, the fact that you would make a covenant with us just blows my mind. That you would make this promise and make this sign of the promise and keep this promise with me regardless of what we did. Lord, it shows your great grace. And Lord, as we have looked at it and we understand just a very small portion, that sign and that promise that you have made is another picture of your Son who took upon himself the vengeance and the punishment of sin so that we wouldn't have to. Lord, we thank you for that promise. We thank you that you've given us that sign so that we also will never forget. We know you won't. Help us to stand on that promise, stand on that covenant, and know that we can hear and trust every word that you say. Lord, we just pray that you would take us to our homes in safety. Help us not to forget these words, but to go back home now and look them up and read some more and let them sink into our hearts, that we would draw closer to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.